Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Hades action star Colton Stone. He is not afraid of the snow. We'll do our best to make your trek wherever you're at enjoyable for the next couple of hours. You can join us as always, 466-3776. 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On email is easy to get in touch, chris@hailvarsity.com. And give us a tweet, give us a follow at Schmidt underscore radio at two birds, one stone. We'll get to Nebraska, Penn State. Mitch Sherman going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll talk some spring preview with Mitch for Nebraska football. Get his take on Manny Machado heading off to San Diego. And, of course, Nebraska's task tonight with the Nittany Lions. Big Ten Buffet time, Rick Pizzo. He'll join us in 1 hour. Pretty open for you. If you want to get in touch, 466-377-6800-825-5865. A couple of national stories on my mind. First, Machado and also Antonio Brown. Finally, having that sit down with Mr. Rooney, and what is next for Antonio? How much trouble is he worth? Is he that dude that'll get you to the Super Bowl? We'll discuss that if time permits. Pretty crazy 2-year project at ESPN.com with Tim Donaghy, the disgraced former official. We have made contact with Michael Franzese, former Colombo crime boss. Friday looks like the day we'll chat with him, and Mr. Franzese knows about handing an envelope of $10,000 to folks to maybe not fix, but shave. So let's get to it. So when you have the Machado news come out, $300 million, you have a 5-year deal here, the 5th-year option. Mm-hmm. And I thought of two people today when I heard this, because – listen, you, and I know free agency's a little different, and pro sports teams want to dive in and get headlines and make a splash, right? You have the NBA All-Star break. There's no NBA. So Major League Baseball sees a window, timing-wise, to own the day, own the week, mm-hmm. be the headline. Same with the NFL and Antonio Brown. And Machado, $300 million. Everything on Twitter and social media. Hey, it's San Diego, man. There's not many better places to live. I visited down there. It's awesome. It is flat out awesome. So the two people I thought of today, golf legend, and I mean that sincerely, Johnny Clare, one of my favorite people in this world. Every time I see the guy, and I haven't seen him enough, he's wearing that San Diego Padres hat. He can go with the blue and the orange. He can go with the orange and the brown, the throwback. But he loves him some Padres, right? I have a little bit of a soft spot for the Padres just because I loved Tony Gwynn. Loved Tony Gwynn as a kid. Got to meet him one time. He was at a Hy-Vee in Omaha signing baseball cards, and I'm so sad he's gone. I thought of my little boy, Carson. I tried FaceTiming him today, and the monkey was on the bus around his buddy, so of course he couldn't take the call. But he is the biggest Yankee homer puke there is. And they've been good while he's grasped sports at his age. And I'm like, are you pissed? Are you pissed that the Yanks didn't get Manny? Because that's all he talks about, man. That's why he plays third base. Not as well as Manny, unfortunately. But he loves Machado. He loves Manny at the plate. He loves Manny playing third or short. He just loves, and the guy is fun and graceful to watch, right? Mm-hmm. He is graceful, as graceful as Jeter from a fluidity standpoint, and he's got that pop. He's got that power. Now, his attitude kind of sucks. You can ask Baltimore fans. He can rub people wrong. His commitment to hustling down first base. Whatever, man. It's a new generation of player, and us old bastards need to quit whining about if a guy legs it out to first. That's how we grew up doing it, because we weren't athletic enough to get there out of the box, right? We had to hustle. It's as fast as we could go. Some guys just turn it on. But we'll get into to what this means here, and if you care. And, you know, there's kind of a crossroads going on here with baseball and with younger folks. And if you have kids who play baseball and you have kids that love it, I mean, it's fun and it's kind of a year-round thing, and there's so many indoor facilities that you know, kids got baseball tonight, and it is a great game to play. And it's a fun game to go watch, whether it's the Soft Dogs, Storm Chasers, or you're just heading down to Kansas City or Colorado, or you head to Wrigley. I mean, it's cool to be at. As far as watching, I try every year to watch. And it's harder and harder to stay awake and stay focused. In person, it's great. On TV, it's not as awesome, despite HD and how cool of a Husker den you have, right?
Yeah.
But as far as on the radio, it's still wonderful. It's still wonderful to listen to ball games on the radio. Let's talk Nebraska basketball. Okay. So you have a major task. Call me crazy, but I feel like, okay, you got Iowa looming. You have Purdue Saturday. You got to eat what's on your plate here tonight in Happy Valley. I don't feel like I couldn't be more okay. I feel good about Nebraska against Iowa. I feel good about, they're not going to be easy, but I feel good about Nebraska in their next two home games, okay? Mm-hmm. Two at home, three on the road, five left. How do you finish out? I feel better at home against a Purdue, as good as they're playing and as blessed as Iowa has been in the final 3 seconds of a game, that Nebraska could go 2-0. Penn State is just one of those spots that I don't care how well Nebraska plays tonight. I don't care how good a start Nebraska has tonight. I know that Borchardt's going to be better for them, and this team's been better with him in the lineup as far as getting rebounds. The rebounding margin was almost 6 a game. It's down to just 1.5. The true test tonight for Nebraska basketball is how are they going to embrace this new role? And we've heard about some reinvention and learning to play without Cope, and that's all very accurate. You got to kind of find your groove again without a guy like that that you've relied on to make and take big shots and emerge as kind of your vocal leader at the time. So you had a transition period where as a team you were a mess trying to figure out roles for guys. Who's going to step up and be a second or third scorer? How are guys going to handle that pressure? What are you going to do defensively from a depth standpoint? By force and no choice, you have gone more with Amir. When Nan has been healthy, he's played more minutes. You've seen Thor, and it's about time, okay? Don't run your guys ragged. If you would have maybe trusted these guys, ready or not, to put them in sooner, maybe you're not as wore down as you are at this point. I just don't think Nebraska, they can get on, they can play as well as they've played. And let's harken back, Creighton and Indiana come to mind as the two best games they've played all year. They can play that well and still find a way to lose tonight just because of where they're at, who they're playing, and just the bipolar nature of Penn State. And James Palmer Jr. was speaking after practice yesterday, and Jacob Padilla's got a good story on HailVarsity.com about it. Kind of about the Penn State fan base, and it's kind of invite only, right? It's not as exclusive as Studio 54, but man, you feel like you're there because not many folks seem to be able to get into that gym. But you got to bring your own energy. And great, thank you for saying that. Okay, Penn State's brought a lot of demons to Nebraska basketball. Just one win And I remember when it happened, Siobhan Shields went off for 32 back in 2013. Nebraska doesn't win there. Michigan doesn't win there. Teams that are going to be three seeds or two seeds escape with their life from there. And I just, I would put your money and my money down tonight that Nebraska just doesn't have it. They can play good ball. They can have a great game plan. They can be better on the glass. Roby can be money. I mean, you want to talk like the Roby game? I know his stat line was bonkers against Northwestern. His stat line against Penn State and Lincoln was phenomenal. 8 of 9, 22 points, 12 rebounds, couple three blocks. His defensive performance was the difference. Penn State's one of those teams that just grind you. And the last time Nebraska scored any points at all, hit 70, was against Penn State. So how does it happen tonight? I think Nebraska will be better defensively. Two big questions I have. Well, there are three people, but two questions. One, how does Roby follow up Northwestern? Do you get like good Roby where he has back-to-back games? Don't kid yourself. You're wondering about his consistency just like I am. And he's been playing good basketball. He's been playing well. But don't act like he's a sure thing. He isn't. And what do you get from your guards? Right? Do you get a do you just get a volume performance from Palmer and from Glenn? Another 7 of 29 where they combine for 25, but it hurts. Or do you get a good Glenn like he was against Penn State the last time? Do you get Palmer? And he has struggled against Penn State. I mean, he got benched at Penn State a year ago. Second half. So, and Miles is right. I mean, they were loose with the ball against Penn State, and they seem to have been better taking care of the basketball. I just don't know if Nebraska is going to go in there and be able to pull this out. They're underdogged by 3.5. Can they go be better offensively? Can they go blue collar in the paint? And can they bring their own energy? That's been an issue all year for them in places that aren't basketball hotbeds. There's no hotbed like Happy Valley, right? You may have 1,500 people there. And it's like watching your kid's Y game. There's very little energy or excitement. So you got to bring your own. Can that be a thing? Can that be a reality? And you get better performances from Palmer and Glenn. And what type of follow-up from Roby do you get? What can Thomas Allen do for you? Right? Can Thomas Allen be a guy that catches and fires from three? Or that little runner he gets off the bounce? I think Nebraska will be better. They got to be better on the defensive glass. 21 offensive rebounds last time against Penn State. And with those rebounds, it's a good thing Penn State sucked because they only had 17 second-half points. That's awful. They could have gone for a 50 spot, and they get 17. Let's go to the phones real quick. Chris, thanks for joining us here on Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty. So I think I can hear in what you're trying to say, and I know you have to maintain a certain level of optimism here given your role, but what you're saying is that Nebraska doesn't stand a chance in hell tonight winning at Penn State.
I would go snowballs chance.
Yeah. And what about over the next five? Are you saying they go 2 and 3? Because I'm saying it's either an offer or maybe they squeak one out at home.
No, I think they can win both at home, and I honestly think they've won at Sparty before. Sparty's, and this sounds crazy, right? I'm saying no shot against Penn State, but yet they can go win at Michigan State. That's how funky this team is, right? They are undermanned and gassed, so that's more the issue to me. What are they going to have left in the tank these final five? They're going to try like hell to do it. But I just there's just no way, right? I mean, this seems insurmountable, and that's so sad to say against a team that's 9-16. But Penn State plays Nebraska, plays Ohio State, and plays some of the top-tier teams. exceptionally well. Then they go on vacation the other half of the Big Ten season. They just drilled Michigan. I mean, they just smoked Michigan. I know it was a six-point win, but they were up 13 or 15 at half. They were up by as many as 20. So they have some dudes that can ball. I think Nebraska can do everything right and still lose tonight is what I'm saying.
Yeah, our consistency has just been so unbalanced, you know. Yeah. So
well, and you hit the word, Chris. Thanks for the call, brother. Balance. I mean, what do you get tonight? Do you get three double-digit scores? Do you get two? What's the efficiency like? They got to come out quick. They got to rebound. They got to stay out of foul trouble. They've got to do something they haven't done all year, and that's bring energy to a sparse, slimly populated football school waiting for football to start back up, and here's basketball. We'll get Mitch Sherman's take tonight against Penn State. We'll get Mitch Sherman's take on San Diego getting Manny. And some more college basketball and, of course, some Big Red thoughts from Mitch Sherman. That's on the way. Thanks for your time. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We say hi to ESPN.com and magazine's Mitch Sherman. At Mitch Sherman on Twitter's where you follow him. Mitch, how's your Tuesday?
Well, I'm looking out the window, Chris, and it's starting to snow here in Sarpy County. So how about you? I mean, you got like an escape plan from the building there?
Well, I don't. We are going till 6. I will flip on Nebraska as soon as humanly possible because I don't think they win tonight, but I hope they do. I mean, I want to see this thing get a little more interesting here, these final five. My escape plan here is keep praying that snow avoids and that's it. I've got an Iditarod and some Huskies on call. So
good. Okay, I'm glad you're prepared. It's a good thing that game's in State College tonight, because if it was here, you'd have 15,000 people. Just they would be like barricaded by snow into the PBA, only to escape in mid-April from the sounds of it.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is despite Snowmageddon, you'd still have 15,000 people at PBA. You're going to have 1,500 at Happy Valley tonight. Let's start with Nebraska basketball, and I want to get your take on Machado, too. A little Major League Baseball thought, but...
Sure.
Okay, with Nebraska tonight, I mean, where's your gut at right now with this game? I feel like Nebraska could knock off Iowa, could take down Purdue. Not easy, but... it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think they could even go play well and maybe stun Michigan or Michigan State. They've done it before against Sparty. But their history against Penn State is so bad, especially there. Any way Nebraska makes this happen tonight, what needs to go down for a shocking upset? I know they're 3.5-point dogs.
Well, I mean, if they're going to make it happen over the next 3 weeks, then tonight's got to be a part of it. I don't see a whole lot of hope that they can get themselves back into the conversation to be playing for a spot in the tournament come Big Ten tournament time if they don't have this win here. I mean, mathematically, yeah, you can win three of these last five without getting this game, but just opponent for opponent, you know, forget about the history, just opponent for opponent and you know, not really worrying about the location of the games either. This should be you've got to have this one. So, you know, it's as close to a must win, I guess, as you get right now. I mean, they've kind of all been like that recently, and you know, Nebraska's put themselves in this position where it's a difficult climb. You know, I don't really see them those games you mentioned. I understand they're winnable, those two home games, but
You know, even the wins that Nebraska's had at home over the last week or so, they haven't been resounding to the point where it makes me believe they're going to be able to get over on Iowa or Purdue or, sure. Or frankly, at Penn State tonight.
Mitch Sherman's with us, ESPN.com and Magazine. What have you liked about Nebraska the last couple of games? Wins, yes, but I feel like, and I wanted your thoughts, I feel like they're getting more comfortable here with who they have, what their kind of redefined roles are without Cope. I also think they're maybe a little scrappier. Maybe they are shifting back to a defense-first mentality. That's kind of how I see it. They'll have to have that tonight.
Yeah, they've redefined themselves, and they've had to. I think they went through a period after Copeland's injury where they didn't know what they were, or they thought that they didn't have, you know, they weren't sure how to make that change that they needed to make. But clearly now they're a team that will thrive when there are fewer possessions in the game, when they can sink their teeth in on defense. And, you know, I mean, Isaiah Roby's looked like a different guy. Certainly he did the last time out. So that has to continue. And, you know, Glenn Watson's got to have some of the confidence that you've seen a little bit come back in his stroke. So, you know, more, you know, some depth. They're getting some things off of the bench that haven't been there at times this year. I think they're just in these last couple of games that they've come together a little bit with the personnel that they have available, and that was clearly not the case in the immediate aftermath of the Isaac Copeland injury.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, what's the number at for you right now with the Big Ten as far as bids? Let's talk a little seeding. Let's talk some crop report here. Do you think 9 still viable? Is 8 there? And when it comes to let's look at the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC. Let's look at some of the other power leagues. I'm just conveniently leaving the Pac-12 out of this conversation. How do you think the Big Ten stacks up now as it's gotten deeper into league play? They're beating up on one another, but moving forward here, is the Big Ten still the best in your eyes? Has the ACC made a move? Where are you at with the Big 12? Kind of project here as we get closer to March.
Well, just depends on how you define the best league. Because if it's the league that's going to do the best at the top of the top couple lines in the tournament, then it's the ACC, because right now they've got 2 number one seeds and potentially a number 2 seed in North Carolina. So, and I don't really think that's going to change. I suppose North Carolina could fall down. You know, they've still got to play Duke twice in the regular season. So, although losses to Duke aren't going to hurt you too much, if they can manage to split that, you know, then that's a win for UNC. You might have 2 1s and a 2 out of the ACC. The Big Ten is not going to match that. I think, you know, the best the Big Ten can hope for is to have a couple of 2s if Michigan State can fend off this injury to Nick Ward that looks to be serious or on the serious side for sure. So maybe there's a chance for Michigan to capitalize on that and slide into a 1 if Tennessee falters in the SEC. But yeah, I mean, the SEC is interesting too, with Kentucky and LSU and Tennessee. Who's going to emerge there? I was talking with someone else about that earlier today, and my thought is that Tennessee is the team most likely to go into the tournament with the higher seed, but Kentucky is the one more likely to make noise and get to the Final Four. So, to me, I don't know the best way to gauge overall strength of a league, but ACC at the top, I think the SEC is maybe a little bit above the Big Ten mm-hmm. in terms of its of having Kentucky that it is on the way up, and Tennessee right now is a 1 seed, and we haven't even talked about the Big 12, which has nobody in those top two lines, top 8 seeds in the country as they would stack up right now, but goes 8 out of 10 deep likely right now in the tournament. 80% of the league gets there, and I think you've got several that could make it to the second weekend, kind of like a year ago when they had 3 in the final 8.
Big 12, you're right, is they don't have that one dominant team, but that league as a whole is fantastic when you look at how well K-State's played. You always have Kansas, and I know they've not been vintage. OU's making noise. Iowa State's really good. Mm-hmm. Who am I forgetting?
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech's big
Kansas
time.
Kansas State, you know, is still atop the standings. So, yeah, I mean, it's a four-team race right there. Any one of those top four could win it, and really Baylor and Texas are not too far below those two.
Mitch, I want to go to Major League Baseball. Manny Machado, his deal with San Diego, $300 million. As you look at the age, the numbers, and what Manny has done from a durability standpoint, just had the 1 year where he was under 100 games played. Otherwise, he's right at that 160 number. What's your reaction to this? You're a huge baseball guy, and Eric Hosmer was the big signee for San Diego a year ago. They gave him superstar money. He's also your leader on that team. You got your talent in Machado. What's this do here? Do you like the move as a baseball fan?
Well, I don't know what San Diego's doing. You know, where they're getting the resources to continue to make moves like this in the offseason. I mean, they were aggressive a year ago, mm-hmm. and not just with Hosmer, but in some other moves that they made, and it didn't pay off as far as wins. Machado doesn't strike me as a guy who's gonna help you. I mean, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but I don't put him in the same category as like a Hosmer, more production than Hosmer. We're gonna put up better numbers than Hosmer. But I don't think he's the kind of clubhouse guy, the kind of leader, the kind of, you know, just player that you want who's playing for the name on the front of the jersey in the same way that Hosmer and some others are. So I look at it and I'm kind of scratching my head, like, okay, what's their strategy here? You know, what kind of guys do they want in this team, and how is this mix gonna all work? I don't claim to be an expert on the makeup of the Padres roster, but just those two signings. The last two off seasons, you know, to look to me to be completely different kind of players, and maybe they mesh together well, and you know, they get San Diego to a place where they can compete with the Dodgers and the Giants and others in that division. But you know, to me, LA is probably still head and shoulders above everybody else. Maybe San Diego like can jump up and be a wild card type team, but again, I mean, it looks good on the surface to say, okay, you got Manny Machado, but I don't know that I understand like the strategy and the direction of what the Padres have done the last couple of years.
Mitch, got about a minute. Want to go Husker football, spring ball's around the corner. What running back are you most excited to see this spring for Nebraska?
Wandale Robinson. I mean, I guess if he's a running back.
Okay.
Or you know,
I didn't know if you go Wandale or you go Ramir, or I mean, there's a bunch of new faces that are pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you get to the season, sure, I want to see how all of those guys mesh. But I think just for like the flash factor and what they're going to do in the spring game to showcase Wandale. You know, there's a lot of excitement about him right now. You know, he looks like the kind of guy who can be a freshman All-American and can play so many different roles in this offense. So, you know, for me, it's, you know, we'll see with the others, but for me, I go into the spring and be excited with what they can do with him. Because you know, what we've heard about him and what you've seen on film, what you saw in the All-American game in San Antonio. To me, he just looks like an instant impact, difference maker kind of freshman, which, you know, haven't been real common at Nebraska in recent years. I mean, they did have, of course, Maurice Washington last year who did some of that, but I think Robinson coming at this January period is going to be more equipped to do that right away than even Maurice was a year ago.
About 15 seconds. What's coming up from you, Mitch?
I got a big story coming out Thursday on Chris Klieman, the new coach at Kansas State, was down there for signing day in early February. Met with him and Gene Taylor, the AD, some others, Colin Klein, the old K-State star quarterback who's on staff under Klieman, and wrote really about just the way that K-State flipped that narrative from people in Manhattan honestly not being real thrilled with that hire when it went down on December 10th to now as they get ready to go into spring practice and they open up on March 6th, how excited people are to have the former NDSU coach leading the Wildcats.
Mitch, thanks for the time, bud.
All right, thanks, Chris. Stay safe. Don't get snowed on.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Always like talking with Mitch Sherman. Big thanks to ESPN.com's Mitch Sherman. So, we are looking out the window. Can we do the Musburger? You're looking live at freaking snowfall. Sorry about that. Just out loud venting. 466-377-6800-825-5865. So we can spend some time here on some spring football. We can get into Manny Machado. We can dive into Antonio Brown. We can talk Nebraska, Penn State. Slim to none. Slim left town. Is that how you feel about Nebraska's chances in Unhappy Valley tonight?
No, I think Nebraska covers.
Do you think they... Well, it's going to be a two-point game.
Right. Right. Because Penn State's not going to blow anybody out.
No.
They may put that facade on.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to whine and moan for another hour and 15 minutes about they got no shot. And they're going to win.
By 30.
They won't win by 30.
No.
You just need Penn State to be absolutely disinterested and not give a damn. You need sub-500 Penn State. You need 0-10 Penn State. That's the problem, is that they've always played tough. They just haven't had much go their way. They're just kind of rest. Yeah, they're feet up, man. You're defending NIT champs. You go 26-13 a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of think you're the you're it.
Well, and the thing too is,
kidding.
Every game that they're in every game. That's mm-hmm. the thing.
And they got two or three dudes can ball.
Right. And when they lose, at some point in that game, they were probably leading by 6 or 8.
I mean, Iowa snuck out of there.
Yep.
Right.
Michigan
got rocked. Purdue twice.
Yep.
And Penn State's got good enough talent to make your night a living hell. Let's talk Manny here for a minute. We'll get into some Nebraska football stuff. Really good list of freshmen to watch on HailVarsity.com. We'll get into that in the 5 o'clock hour along with some Antonio Brown's thoughts. Okay. I've kind of laid out what's cool about Manny Machado, and I look at Machado, and Mitch kind of nailed it. Like, all right, San Diego, great. You spent money to get the other premier free agent not named Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it going to do for you? And here's what I think San Diego's doing. You've got the number one farm system. That's according to Keith Law. I'll take his word for it because I don't know a ton about minors other than Kansas City and the Dominican Academy for years was money, and that's how Kansas City built,
mm-hmm.
was through development, and they were just able to reload once they'd lose a free agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got your cornerstone. You've got your cornerstone in a clubhouse that's been part of championships, that's been a grinder and a good defender and is athletic and can hit. Not for a ton of power, but has speed and athleticism to go with whatever he hits to the gap, and that's Eric Hosmer.
Mm-hmm.
And Kansas City's not a world champion without Hawes. They're not back-to-back World Series teams that get there without Hawes.
Mm-hmm.
And he is your straw that stirs the drink that's built up a franchise. You go sign Hosmer a year ago with that contract because he is kind of your linchpin from a culture and leadership standpoint, right? You look at Paul O'Neill, those years with Cincinnati and with the New York Yankees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You just need one of those guys in the clubhouse that's your leader, that's good, that's pretty well respected. He's it. Now you go get your game-changing talent. And your hope here is that Hosmer can kind of write all of Manny's missteps, be it hustling down to first base, okay, or getting the entire crowd to boo him. People are kind of shocked and freaked out that he went to San Diego. If someone gives you $300 million to go work where you want to work,
mm-hmm.
in a place that's that gorgeous, you do it. San Diego has combined, they have spent... what's the number here? They have spent more money the last year on Hosmer and on Manny, $474 million in free agent signings the past two seasons, than the previous 25 years. They spent $309 million on free agency the previous 25 years. Last time they were in the postseason was 2010. Last time they had a guy start the All-Star game was named Tony Gwynn in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And you're at a tough spot right now, where if I'm ownership, I look at San Diego. What do you have? You got no NBA. The Chargers bolted, pun intended, for LA. So you're it. You're it for that city. People love their sports in San Diego, along with Coronado Island and the beach and all the other cool things you can do there, where the weather's insanely awesome every day. So this is your shot. This is your shot. You got Hosmer to be the leader. You've got the generational talent in Manny. You've got pitching and outfielders in this farm system. You've got Tatis, and the left side of your infield is going to be money. Might as well take a run at it. And if you're Manny, you've been in Baltimore. Those were god-awful years where they took you third overall. You go play for a World Series with the Dodgers last year. Didn't work out, and you're in San Diego. Thing I saw that made me laugh was the tax rate in California, where it's above 13%. So with this signing over the next 5 years, Manny's going to kick in about $39 million in taxes to the state of California. California just made about $40 million. Is he going to be that big a difference maker? Listen, he's better than your previous third baseman. You've got your face and your talent. You have record production and age. Okay, the guy's only 26. He has put up insane numbers, and history says and shows that that's what he'll do. Okay? And by the time he's hitting his early 30s, 31, 32 years of age, you can sign him for another year. If it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But the one thing you can't say about this franchise is they didn't try. And with what they've done in the draft and the development phase, and with what they got with Hosmer from a leadership standpoint, this is the piece you need. Mm-hmm. Is it going to mean anything? Are they going to win 85 games next year? Don't know. But I'll watch. I will absolutely check in on San Diego, because you know they're going to be on at 9 o'clock on Monday night at some point, or on a Saturday. I'll for sure check it out. So I like this. I like the aggressive ownership. They kind of saying, this city is ours, and people will come watch and support us. And we have the entire market now, because there's no more NFL. There's no NBA. It's us and San Diego State. Right? So we'll see if it works out. And I'd like to see if Manny becomes more of a professional thanks to the influence of Hosmer. We'll wind down hour one. Rick Pizzo's coming up. Big Ten Buffet Time. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio lesson?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Wind down hour one, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, reminding you that it's going to be yucky outside with snowfall. So buckle up, click it or ticket. Something's got to stop you when that vehicle gets out of control. It can be a seatbelt or can be a windshield. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury from your vehicle when your body needs to slow down. Whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat, buckle up now, click it or ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Colton, you're scratching the check. Who would you rather have, Manny or Harper?
Okay, so as a Phillies fan, when they almost got Manny at the trade deadline last time.
Oh, you're a Phillies guy? I always see you wearing Rockies stuff.
Well, I'm wearing an Oregon hat right now.
No, but that's a cool camo-looking Oregon hat. Oh,
not the point, but anyways, as someone that has previously rooted and still does root for the Phillies, when they didn't get Manny, I was kind of upset at first during the trade deadline, but then I understood it because it was going to be a one-off. Right. They'd have him for half the year
Don't sell it off and give up half of your future.
Exactly. So when it's coming down to Bryce and Manny, who's going to get more money? Who do you want? Who's to build the franchise around? If I'm the Phillies, I would take Bryce anyways.
Well, that's where he's supposed to go, but
But, you know, who's going to write that $350 million check? And is it, I mean, I'm not going to say it's not worth it, but then what happens to Mike Trout when he's in free agency? Like, it's, these numbers are just going to keep going
up. Do you stay patient now and go after Trout? How much older is Trout than Bryce?
Maybe a year. I thought they were about the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Harper's been playing since he was 19, killing it. I mean, he's phenomenal. I think he's a pretty gritty ball player too. Right? I mean, pretty devoted.
I think when it comes to maybe pure talent and win now, Bryce Harper, as far as like building around maybe Manny, because he gives you the option of short and third somewhere you really need.
Plus the
an
offense.
All-world player. Yeah, and then the offense. So it's not that Bryce can't play defense, but I think
Manny's impact is pretty great.
I think the infield impact is a little greater. Mm-hmm. And then the offense.
No, and I like what San Diego's doing, man. I mean, by the time things get up and running and some of their young pups get seasoned, you got Kinsler at second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they have a guy that
they could be damn good by year three of this deal.
Yeah, and the reason they're probably going to put Machado at third, they'll move Urias to short, and then I don't remember his name, but they have a prospect in the waiting, essentially, to leave shortstop open for him to play, and then him and Manny. So, yeah, they've got the talent to do it.
I'd like to see Bryce go to New York. That'd be a Bryce Harper thing to do.
He can't have a beard, though.
Well, they'll make exceptions for sure. That's the other thing. And all these, in the era of Durant going to a champion already, it's kind of cool that Manny went to a place that is trying to build one.
Yeah.
That's kind of back, you know, the White Sox, they feel they had the best deal on the table for him. And I know Greg Smith's crying in his beer right now, but there is no substitute for San Diego.
Yeah.
Just ask Ron Burgundy. All right, it is Big Ten Buffet time. Shortly, Rick Pizzo's coming up. We'll tour around the Big Ten. Get some football in there as well. Hail Varsity continues Hour 2, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome back. Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Snow still falling. We can keep whining about that. Nebraska-Penn State set to tip off. A little less than an hour, we bring in Big Ten Buffet man Rick Pizzo at BTN Rick Pizzo. Mr. Rick, how are you, sir?
Schmitty, if it makes you feel any better, it started snowing here on January the 7th, and it hasn't stopped yet. I literally have my shovel on speed dial and a remote control that automatically directs it into my hand each and every morning when I wake up, because that's how I'm getting my exercise this winter.
You know what? That's the way to go about it. How do you spend the adult snow day if kids are home? We kind of lock Junior in his room, forgive me, and if Mama and I got to work, he's just got to fend for himself with the dog. You're a better parent. What is it? Is it movie day with the kids? Do you make lunch together? How do you spend the Pizzo snow day?
I'm a big outside in the snow, let's go have some fun guy. Bring the dog out there with us, make snowmen, throw snowballs at each other, do the most ridiculous things that you could possibly do in the snow. As much as I do despise winter and wonder each and every day why I don't live in places like San Diego, for example, I do love the snow growing up with it in Vermont, something I've been with my whole life.
I like it. There we go. So it's activities with Mr. Pizzo. Let's talk Nebraska and Penn State. And you know, Nebraska still has lots of chances here to, well, turn some heads, and they're not great chances, but it's an opportunity unlike a year ago. Rick, what do you think about tonight for Nebraska? What are some big thoughts, some keys for Nebraska if they're to go do this, get a win in a place they don't win at?
Yeah, and a scary game because of the way that Penn State and how hard that Penn State plays. They get a lot of teams in foul trouble. They really wear you down. They attack your depth, something that Nebraska does not have a lot of right now. And Nebraska, for the first time in obviously a long time, is feeling good about itself. Couple of wins last week at home. But you go on the road. No, Penn State is not the most hostile road environment. But we've seen Penn State, whether it was the win over Michigan, whether it was the near victory against Purdue, or whether it's basically even the games that they lose, Chris, they play so hard. And it doesn't matter to me what happens to Pat Chambers in the long term. I think he and that staff deserve a ton of credit for keeping this team together through what's been a really disappointing year. And they're obviously putting in the effort of practice. It's finally starting to show up on the basketball court. I think this is a really dangerous game for Nebraska because it's a no-win game. It's one of those games you go on the road and you pick up a dub. That's nice. It's fine. It doesn't open any eyes, but you lose, and all that momentum you built last week is gone.
Is this a game Nebraska's got to have if they want to get back even on the bubble or back into the first four in? Because you've got opportunity. How bad would this loss hurt you is my question.
Well, I think it hurts you not just from the net perspective, because I don't think it would actually be that much of a huge blow to the net rankings, but it hurts you because then it makes those remaining four games more important, and those games are against Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, and Iowa. And Tim Miles does not need to be reminded of that. I mean, that is as tough a finishing stretch as you could potentially get. That's why this game is as important as it is. And it is about keeping that momentum going into those four games. I mean, you're going to be the underdog in all of those games. You're going to be the underdog against Purdue, even though you're at home. You're certainly going to be the underdog on the road against the two Michigan teams. And once again, you're almost certainly going to be the underdog at home against Iowa. Those are all dangerous teams because they can run, they can get up and down the floor, again, attacking that depth that Nebraska doesn't have. And so I think it's the totality of that that makes tonight's game so important for the Huskers.
When you look at Nebraska here, Rick, what have you kind of gleaned from them in their last two wins? What's different about this team? Yes, they won, but have you noticed kind of a different style for Coach Miles and kids?
Yeah, I like the fact that they've clamped down a little on the defensive end, because I think they're realizing that after the injury to Copeland and the offensive struggles of Glenn Watson, he's just not confident with his shot, and James Palmer taking bad shots, they're not going to beat teams if those teams get in the mid-60s, high 60s, and certainly not into the 70s. So you look at the win over Minnesota, go for 61 points. Look at the win over Northwestern, 50 points. Now, can you do that to Penn State? I'm not sure. Can you do that to Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa? Probably not. That's why I don't have a lot of confidence going forward. This win would be nice. It's not going to change my outlook with Nebraska in those final four games. But I think the only way that they can win multiple games down the stretch is to steal a page from Rutgers' book. Ugly it up. Make it dirty. Make every possession nasty. Make it last 25, 30 seconds. Then you have a chance. You get into a track meet with Purdue, Michigan State, Iowa, you stand absolutely zero chance.
Give me a finish number for Nebraska to get back on the right side of the conversation. Is it 5-0? Is it 4-1? Is it 3-2? What do you think?
Well, I think a little bit of it depends on who you beat and where you beat them, because obviously a win at Michigan, a win at Michigan State, obviously those would resonate more because they are road wins and those are remarkably important. I think tonight's a must get. And then I think if you go 3-1 in those final four, then you get to the Big Ten tournament and suddenly the outlook has completely changed. I don't think 3-1 in those final four is realistic. But if you go 2-2, is there a possibility? Yeah, for sure. You probably have to make a fairly deep run. I would say semifinals at the least. But that also gets you out of that play-in game on Wednesday night, which is very important for Tim Miles and this team. So while it's hard to put a number on, I think a road win against any of those teams, Penn State not included, certainly Michigan or Michigan State, that's almost like a win and a half.
Sure. No, I think you're right. It has such a weight when you go in Ann Arbor or in East Lansing. Rick Pizzo's with us. A few more minutes. Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Buffet. Rick, as you look at the league right now, what's your assessment here? Michigan dropped one to Penn State. Sparty's getting bit by the injury bug. Indiana's got zero momentum from, feels like forever ago, but that win they had at Michigan State. Iowa's living love, you know, living life the right way, apparently. I mean, the league right now, is it surging? Is it getting ground down by the teams beating up on each other? How's the health moving forward here as we get closer to March?
Yeah, I think what's happening right now is exactly what we should have expected. This is why I told you all along, the conversation about 9 or 10 teams was ludicrous, because this was bound to happen. Teams are going to lose to teams that are below them in the standings all the time, especially on the road in February, because you are gassed. Because this 20-game conference schedule is wearing on you, because teams like Nebraska that tried to make their non-conference harder, teams like Minnesota that tried to make their non-conference harder, are now finding out that that can help you out in the net rankings. It can help you out if you're able to continue that momentum during conference play, but that's really hard in a league like this. So I think the injury to Nick Ward truly hurts Michigan State in the sense that that was their biggest advantage against Michigan, who they played twice over the final five games of the regular season, was their depth down low. Now that's gone, and to me, that makes Michigan and Purdue co-favorites to win the league, and the reason why with Purdue is because of the schedule. I mean, they lost that game to Maryland, and that was the only game, I believe, in their last 7 or 8, maybe even 9 or 10, where they played a ranked opponent, because they now finish with Indiana, Nebraska, Illinois, Ohio State, Minnesota, Northwestern. None of those teams are ranked, and some of their toughest games, the games against Ohio State at home, the game against Illinois at home. Tonight will be a test against Indiana, but the schedule shakes out in favor of Purdue. The injury to Michigan State, the biggest beneficiary of that going forward is Michigan.
Yes, and you know the way it's been slated and scheduled here, you get Michigan, Michigan State twice here before the Big Ten tournament. That's tasty. Purdue's playing great basketball right now. Indiana, man, they can turn it on and be great, but they're too inconsistent. Are you surprised here at Illinois? Are you surprised at Rutgers? Both teams looked dead. I mean, Penn State's kind of in that same category too, but less conference wins. But the two aforementioned, did you think they'd put a run together? Do you think they would be playing as well as they are right now? Because they're as dangerous as anybody.
Yeah, Rutgers, I think I saw that one coming a little bit, just because they've shown signs. They showed signs last year at the Big Ten tournament in New York City. Steve Peichel has a winning formula. I know Stony Brook is not the Big Ten, but he did it there, and now he's doing it in Piscataway. He's recruiting the right guys. I think they're going to be a dangerous team now year in and year out. I'm not saying they're going to contend for the title, but you look at where they are right now, and they probably should have beaten Illinois in overtime, and they certainly should have beaten Iowa. I mean, obviously a prayer was answered for the Hawkeyes in that one, and if that's the case, and they're looking at what, 7 and 8 right now, which would be phenomenal. Illinois does surprise me a little, because when they lost, there was a non-conference game in December that they lost, Chris, and I'm not sure exactly to who it was, but it was a team that was like 290th in NCAA rankings, and I thought at that point that their year was done. I really did. I thought that maybe they were ready to mail it in, and it was just going to be one of those seasons where they just kind of played out the string, but they have just turned things around. It was Florida Atlantic that they lost to at the end of December. And the way that Brad Underwood suddenly got his guys to start playing his style and just make games nasty for everybody. And they showed us the first time when they destroyed Minnesota at home. And then they tested Wisconsin. They beat Maryland. You know, they're a team that they get up in your grill. They defend like crazy. Their biggest challenge right now will be keeping Io DeSumo in college for another year, because he's just a freshman. But NBA scouts are drooling because of that dangerous professional word, upside.
He has the upside. Rick, I want to talk Carolina Duke. The cheapest ticket right now for Carolina Duke's just shy of $3,000. What's the most you've ever spent on a sporting event? Professionally, you get to cover them. You're awesome at it. But as a fan, does something jog the memory here where you overspent to go see a favorite player or team?
Well, the most I've ever spent on a sporting event was to actually go see the women's final at the French Open when Serena Williams was involved.
My wife
and I just happened to be in Paris, and she's a huge Serena fan. She made it to the finals, and so we made the trip to Roland Garros, somewhat last minute, great seat. So I won't tell you the number, but it hurt a little bit. Lucky enough in this business to get a lot of free ducats, that's for sure, and that is a good thing. I'm always willing to spend money on my beloved New York Giants. I've seen them up at Lambeau Field twice in the playoffs, one win, one loss. Money well spent, especially since one was with my son. But, yeah, you know, the French Open, though, I try to, you know, play that off. It was in euros, not dollars, so it's almost like it was fake money.
There you go. Hey, there was in euros. It's okay. Last thought here, and you're a Giants fan. You deal with the saga that is OBJ, as good as he is, as talented as he is. You deal with a wideout. What advice do you have for potential NFL fans out there that may acquire Antonio Brown?
Be ready for Diva Central. That's what wide receivers are these days. I mean, I guess I shouldn't just say these days. I mean, Terrell Owens was kind of the ultimate and original. You know, Michael Irvin was there as well. But it's just gotten to a level to me where when you have to spin the ball after every first down, you know, after a third and five, and you make a six-yard catch, and you got to play spin the top with the ball at the 45-yard line. I'm not trying to be the old man yelling at the clouds, and I believe it is the no-fun league, and guys should be able to have more fun, but have fun and actually celebrate when it's worthy of celebrating. And wide receivers, whether it's Brown or OBJ, those guys are the worst at that. So who's ever willing to take him on, I think you got to be willing to take the good with the bad, just like Giants fans do with OBJ. I'm almost done. I'm getting close to being done. We'll see if they draft Dwayne Haskins and we can get a couple other wide receivers in there. But hey, listen, man, you get the whole package when you get guys like that.
No, you got it. You love them, but man, you get frustrated with them, and they are game changing, right? You stick them in the slot, you can't cover them.
That's right.
Good night. But man, the amount of collateral damage to a locker room can wear you out.
Yeah, and I think you see that a little bit with the Giants. I mean, you've seen it rubbing off on some of the younger wide receivers. I think it's kind of hastened Eli's demise, as good as OBJ was with him and kind of re-energizing him for a while. It can also take a little bit out of you when your best guy is constantly complaining to you, to other wide receivers, to the offensive coordinator, to the media, to the hot dog guy. It's like, you know, I mean, it eventually wears on you. So, yeah, you got to take the good with the bad, and sometimes the bad overweighs the good.
It does. No bad here. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, thanks for squeezing us in today. Awesome coverage as always, bud. We'll get caught up down the line soon.
My pleasure, man. Stick with us tonight on the Big Show. We'll have everything going on with Stephen Bardo tonight, Nebraska, Penn State, and obviously the Iowa-Maryland game on our air.
Can't wait for it. That'll be good. Rick, thanks, man.
All right, brother.
All right, there
talk
he is.
Soon.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. So Nebraska, Penn State on FS1. The Pride of Lincoln Southeast, Nick Baugh, is on that call. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna have a good night of basketball. I suggest you fire up the crock pot for some chili. I am craving a little chicken noodle soup right now. We'll make that happen. We'll get you home the next 40 minutes. We'll spend some time on the NFL. We'll get into some Nebraska football. Spring football is looming. And there are some young guys to watch for Nebraska this spring on the offensive and defensive side. Some of the young pups you are most intrigued by. Colton and I will spend some time on that. And I want to remind you about Sauter Heyman. Rick and the gang, Sauter Heyman. Listen, for the less than the price of a cup of coffee per day, you can get that 1-carat diamond for her. The 1-carat diamond solitaire. Just $100 a month. Don't wait. Maybe it's the first ring. Maybe it's time to upgrade. Take care of her. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Well, we'll talk Antonio Brown coming up. We'll spend some time on Nebraska football right now. Can still weigh in on Husker basketball. You feeling confident tonight? Does it happen? And does Nebraska need to win against Penn State tonight to keep their tournament hopes alive? Now, you do the transitive property here. If you don't win at Penn State, you're not going to win at East Lansing or Ann Arbor. I get it. But we'll see. What's that line at right now, Colton? Still 3.5? Colton's like, let me carry the one and check. 466-377-6800-825-5865 is what you can dial up to get in. Can follow us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio @2birds1stone. It's where you can follow Colton at Hail Varsity and can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Did it drop? What's the percentage at right now?
Well, if my phone decides to work, then I might be able to find it.
It's time to take the claw hammer to both of our phones.
Or the Wi-Fi, one of the two.
Well, I mean, come on, man. Do you realize you and I are 4 feet from a router?
Yeah, I think that's the worst part.
Uh-huh. That makes you cry a little more. We'll get into some freshmen to watch. Good story. You're invited to check out on HailVarsity.com from Dr. Petey about Nebraska football. And specifically, some freshmen to watch. Redshirt or true freshman? You got that number?
3.5 for Penn State.
Still 3.5?
Yeah.
What's the percentage at? Is it like an 8% chance Nebraska wins tonight?
Well, that's going to be on ESPN. I'm on Odd Shark. But,
okay. Look at you. You've got your Odd Shark app. You little degenerate.
Yeah, I don't use it very often. Uh-huh. 56% is the consensus bet for Penn State, though.
Really?
So,
that's pretty low.
Projected scores has Nebraska winning, though. So I think if I'm reading this correctly.
All right. Well,
no, Penn State has Penn State winning by 6, which is their pretty typical number.
That's pretty normal. So freshmen to watch for Nebraska football. I'm going to give you two names that I'm really interested in seeing, okay? I want to see spring football. It'll get here soon enough. But, I mean, you've heard the names. You've heard Cam Jurgens, and he's just a sick athlete. He's big time. Wandale Robinson is a guy that everyone's excited and clamoring for, and that's a guy that'll be a game changer for Nebraska. But you know a dude that we were excited about a year ago? That we just didn't see much of? Miles Jones,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, let's talk about Nebraska's running back room right now. You got Amir Johnson, Wandale, who knows what's up with Mo, Miles Jones, right? I mean, you've got a wide open race at running back. Of course, Dedrick Mills. So you've got plenty of talent there, and I'm excited for the options. But here's what you got with Miles Jones. He's a guy that they loved and went and got as that Duck R hybrid spot, okay? He can catch the football. He's got great side-to-side ability. And a guy I thought that and this is Derek's comparison, but I think he's spot on, is Adrian Killens. Remember him for Central Florida?
Mm-hmm.
That type of back that can just burst, that can just pop, can hit a big play. So you didn't see a lot of Jones when it comes to the offense, and you had Ziggy playing so well and Maurice did well. You were set up for Nebraska. But I'm anxious to see what he can do. You got Ramir Johnson, Dedrick Mills, Mazur, yes, and you're going to need a couple of options. And if you got three hybrid backs, think about that. You kind of think about how New England goes about attacking a team and what they want to do to the defensive line, the style of back. Do you go Rex? Do you go James White? Do you go Sony Michel?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, yeah. Think about you have three guys can catch the football and run the football with Mo, with Wandale, and now you have this option here with a little better grasp, a little more footing under his feet in Miles Jones. So to have three hybrid guys, you can stick a couple in the slot and still motion another, or you can put two guys that are hybrid dudes in the backfield at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just blabbering here, but just think of the offensive possibilities and the matchup issues you can create. I'm going to be interested to see what type of runner Jones is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is he a guy that's got to get to the edge, or is he a guy that can run between the tackles? So Miles Jones is somebody I'm beelining for to watch this spring. The other guy that I think could be really good, and we loved talking to him when he committed to Nebraska, is Tate Wildermann.
Mm-hmm.
Wildermann's a dude out of Colorado. He's it's not on him right now to be great, but you've got a year in the program as a redshirt, and now you can find your role. You can provide depth, and you can find your role because it's the Davis twins, and it's still Stilly mm-hmm. on that defensive line, right? And then you got Damian Daniels and Darian Daniels, so it isn't all on you. But what you have here is a guy that is really, really good at getting after the quarterback, but he's also a run stopper. And I think he's a guy that can kind of moonlight as both, right? Maybe he's a little bit better run stopper than he is guy that gets after the quarterback, but he still has the ability to get after a quarterback. Mm-hmm. That is like key number one, right? Is find somebody, Caleb Tanner, that can go nail the quarterback for Nebraska. Find somebody that can get that Griffin-type role off the edge to heat him up because your secondary improved. It's better. Cam Jones is a guy that is thought of highly, and I know he got injured, mm-hmm. but Cameron Jones, kid out of Texas, a top 20 safety in the country, is another dude you're waiting to see. He's big and he's physical. So I've named three, forgive me. But you want pass rush, you want to see what you're going to have in the running game, and then it's offensive line, right? It's offensive line because you lost two guys that have been playing a lot of football. What do you do at tackle? What do you do at guard? What do you do at center?
Mm-hmm.
You got Hymus that you know is money, and you got Bo Wilson that's been really good at guard. What do you got at center? Is Juergens able to come in and be ready to go by fall? Do you put Little Farniok in there? The walk-on from
Iowa Western.
So you got to find somebody that's not just like serviceable, but find somebody that's really good.
Because
mm-hmm. Nebraska has been lacking a center, great center, for a long, long time. That's where it starts. So your lines of scrimmage are going to be your focal points. Your pass rush is going to be a focal point. But what do you have in that running back room? Very, very key, very important. A couple of guys you're thinking of?
I think offensively, I was trying to think of a lot of names. But for new faces, Jamie Nance comes to mind because that wide receiver spot's not thin, but it's thin.
It's unknown,
yeah,
right? It's not thin, but it's unknown.
Exactly. And you look at – I'm not saying that I'm not intrigued by the running back room, but there's so many names that if one doesn't work out, you've got three more that could. Mm-hmm. And then if the next one – you know what I mean?
I think Ramir and Dedrick could just be fantastic.
And if Wandale is a third down pass out in the flat kind of guy – you can
stick him in
that.
The slot.
Exactly. Yeah. And those guys can work in the passing game too, as far as receivers. So you have a lot of question marks, but you have a lot of speed and a lot of talent there. Defensively, I don't want to say he won't play his freshman year, but Ty Robinson just is an intriguing guy to think about because you do have a lot of experience coming back for that defensive line, but you also have a lot of young talent in the wings that, if needed, they could be called up to play.
Well, and that's just it, dude. You've kind of hit the question. Are you going to get, like, bodies? Are they going to be serviceable?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to be difference makers? And you've not had a difference maker on the line of scrimmage defensively for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Malik, it's Vincent, it's Randy, okay? And Stilly has shown flashes. And I love how much effort he plays with. I love his conviction about the waiting on the black shirt. But the Davis twins, I mean, they're athletically very gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they are mobile. And they are able to get downhill on you. But what type of splash plays are you getting from your defensive line? How many tackles for loss are you getting? What type of just penetration are they getting? Damian Daniels, when he can get on the field, is he's the Great Wall of China, bro. I mean, he is so good at just slamming things and keeping somebody's run game from going gangster on you. But he's got to be on the field more than 15 snaps. So are you getting, like, serviceable play, or are you getting difference-making play? Mm-hmm. That needs to happen with these guys. Their ceiling, is this it? Where, yeah, they're going to start for you. They're going to pour their heart into it for you. But are they going to be a difference maker? And you got, and Ty Robinson's a guy that, even as young as he is, they can mold and grow. He can be a difference maker for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he can be a big time playmaker for you.
And I think on the defense too, I know, I mean, we probably talked about this at least once a show, but outside linebackers, I think that's where a lot of the maybe timidness comes from the defensive line, is you're not getting that outside pressure from the second level. So guys are almost not playing with as much pressure, and it feels like it's almost just contained defense right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. There's no sense of there's the sense of get the quarterback, but there's not like an urgency.
Do you win your one-on-one battle, or are you going to have to keep blitzing a fifth person?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, you're going to bring four, theoretically, but can you get stronger and better at the point of attack? That's the other thing, man. It kills you. When Ohio State took over control of the game in the second half, it was through the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Iowa built a lead they barely hung on to, because they were able to just chew clock, get first downs, and there was no Wadley back there running it, okay? They just lined up and ran on you. And that is something that's got to change. Coach Frost has been very adamant about that from the point of attack, and quit getting pushed around. And I think these kids will, they'll make the bulldozer third and three given first down. That ain't going to be that way much longer at Nebraska. They'll get better there. But what can you do to go make a play and get after a quarterback? That's such a key thing here. We'll hit some NFL on the way with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Working through a snowy Tuesday, it's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. Get ready for Nebraska Penn State. And that gets rolling at 6 on FS1. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Percentages say it's Penn State tonight. We have an email from Kent coming up. We'll get to in a moment. Antonio Brown is on my mind. I'm excited about that. Some freshmen you're anxious to see. Give me three freshmen you want to see and that are intriguing to you for Nebraska. Spring ball is coming up here when it doesn't snow in March, on March 4th. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. So with Husker basketball, Kent chimes in. Kent's a confident dude. His odds for the season when it comes to looking at the Penn State game, Nebraska has a 45% chance to win. Nebraska, 55% chance to win against Purdue, 15% chance at Michigan, and 35% chance against Sparty. Against Iowa. Iowa, Russ, are you hearing this? Nebraska has a 60% chance to beat Iowa. That probability, though, could go up or down based on what the hell there is to play for at that point of the year. Man. You know, I'm gonna call my shot in 10 minutes here. I'll give you a score prediction.
Okay, I got the percentage now.
All right.
I think. It has Nebraska on ESPN. It's down to 3, straight up.
Ah, look at that.
51.7% Nebraska, 48.3% Penn State.
So they're saying Nebraska wins tonight.
By 3%, yes.
Oh, all right.
It's 50-50, right? I mean, if Nebraska plays as well as they can and Penn State just shows up, it's a 50-50 chance, I feel like.
If Penn State gives a damn.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Penn State, you can see them, and they did get up for Michigan. I didn't know Grandpa got kicked out of the game at halftime.
Oh, their head coach?
Beeline got launched.
Yeah, Beeline got tossed. And then and we.
How does that work? That's your math teacher losing his mind on you.
Kind
of like Mr. Hand and Spicoli.
It came across the ticker, and we were just like looking up at a different game, and it says Beeline got tossed
ejected
before half. And it was like, no, it wasn't just like a technical. It was two techs, and then he got thrown.
Then he got run out, right.
And then you've got your assistant coach, which I'm not. You know, I'm not going to make assumptions about him, but just kind of look like a deer in the headlights on the sideline because Beeline.
John, we need an out of bounds play. Can you text one to me, please? What's this? It's a whiteboard and an eraser. Draw up a screen to get a guy open for three.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the guy because I've never seen Beeline. Well, I've seen him angry, but I've never seen him talk.
Dude, he like yells at you like he's your shop teacher.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just you're building a paddle or a lamp or whatever.
You don't have your goggles on and Beeline's over there.
He's just kind of chewing your ass about it, but it's out of love. But, man, he that's the other thing, right? We didn't get too much on the Tim Donaghy story. But you know it's very, very rare you're going to get any sort of benefit of the doubt in state college. Because guess what? The refs that went there on their own dime, they're pissed. It's the crap game of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you go to Happy Valley, you got to fly into like Pittsburgh or Baltimore and then drive halfway across the state. It's in the middle of nowhere, hidden. There's some mountains and some farmland. The ghost of Joe Pa. That's what you got. Oh, yeah, they play basketball once in a while, too. If they get rid of Chambers, they're going to go try and get the Buffalo coach.
Yeah.
So we talk about the Nebraska job and how appealing is the Nebraska job and is the dream team wish list even possible if Bill Moose decides to make a move?
Mm-hmm.
Penn State's at least there's facilities in Lincoln. But you're so close to talent in Pittsburgh and Philly. I mean, Chambers has brought in a dude that can ball every year he's been there. I don't know how many Penn State guys are in the NBA, but their guards are good. I mean, they were a good team last year. They could have really been an NCAA tournament team
mm-hmm.
a year ago. So let's talk Antonio Brown here for a minute. And this is coming out per the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And you had Antonio Brown meet with Mr. Rooney. There's a picture, arms around each other. Hey, we agree to disagree. You're out of here. Thanks for the time. I didn't know Brown was 31.
Yeah, nine years with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I know he's been like the best player in the league, arguably the last five. But as he's gotten better, his attitude's gotten worse.
Yeah, I didn't know. When I saw 9 years, I was like, really? Has it already been that long?
And he's going third person on Snapchat with, you know, AB needs some guaranteed money. AB needs some guaranteed money. And I get that because you're in the NFL. This is your livelihood. You kill each other for 16 weeks. They're flying you over to Europe once a weekend, right? I should say once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're doing preseason games. And just out of sheer thriftiness, they will cut somebody that's high priced and plug in a seventh rounder that's not as good, all in the name of making the cap work. It is so cutthroat, and you're getting half of it taxed anyway. So it is a wonderful way to make a living because you love the sport. But man, from a guaranteed and get rich, it's not even close to what. I mean, Manny can pull out after his fifth year. It's a 10-year deal, but I said a 5-year deal. Really, after 5 years, you're going to figure out if you're going to get married or not, or you're going to divorce each other with baseball, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And with the NBA, I mean, guys that average 8 and 10 are pulling down 20 a year.
Yeah.
So I get that guaranteed money. I think there's still some tread on his tires. But the question is how much crazy do you want? Can he go to a place and be reeled back in? Is it possible to reel him back in? And let's talk about some big-time diva wideouts. And I tell you what, Pizzo nailed it with, you have Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens, but you have like Dez Bryant was the guy that nobody wanted to take a run at. He's breaking down. He's older. He's actually around the same age, I think, as Antonio.
About 32, 33, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I think.
So, but Dez was a guy, folks, nobody wanted to touch. Randy Moss, Josh Gordon, you got a long history of troubled wideouts. And when you look at teams that would be a fit for Antonio Brown, first of all, would Pittsburgh trade him to New England? Because you're going to be playing each other in the playoffs every year.
No is probably the answer.
Right. And you're not going to just cut him. So you're going to find a way to make some money off of him. Do you send him to San Francisco? Do you trade him to Cleveland, a divisional opponent where you can kick your butt and take your name twice a year? The Jets? You got a young football team in New York. Do you want him perhaps poisoning it? The Colts with Andrew Luck? That would be sweet. The Dolphins still have nobody to throw to him. Can he grow up under the watch of Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona? John Gruden, the Raiders. You know, where does he land? We'll wind down a Tuesday next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on your Tuesday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Colton Stone. So excited. Jeff Goodman going to be with us tomorrow. He is formerly with ESPN and did a just incredible podcast with Tim Miles. Did so on Monday. And we'll get caught up with Jeff on some college basketball, where Nebraska's at, and his candid conversation with Tim Miles. And you've seen that on social media. Hopefully you've listened to it, the good and plenty. Coach Brett is wondering, what's the wager on the Nebraska game tonight? Let's go there. Colton? You and I are both picking Penn State, so there's no bet.
Well...
You listen, man, you're already in the hole here with the naked mile on O Street.
Yeah, so I might as well just ante up, right?
I'm not there. Okay, I do not want to be there when Colton's... assless chaps running down 14th.
Penn State wins tonight, I'll do a second naked... Also, now that Rutgers has won more than three, I hope they just run the table. I hope they just win the Big Ten.
Right. So you can come back and say, hey, I was on the Rutgers bandwagon.
The whole time. I'm leaning Nebraska. I haven't got a score yet. I'm thinking about it.
Well, we got like 90 seconds.
Yeah, I know. I'll come up with a number here in a second.
Give me Penn State 71, Nebraska 60.
I think Penn State leads most of the way, and Nebraska pulls out a four-point win. Give me – they're not going to score 70. 68-64.
Roby has been getting about 14 shots a game post – Copeland injury.
Right.
Is he going to finish and be efficient? Can he be as awesome as he was? You know, Penn State's going to have a counter. Mm-hmm. He killed them. Roby freaking killed them in Lincoln. 22 points, I think 13 rebounds, 3 blocks. That's the best Roby's played that in Indiana. Okay. And Roby's coming off a ball game where he wasn't efficient, but he was dominant.
I think every time he scores...
More importantly, what's Glenn do tonight?
Ooh. I think Roby's fine. I think Roby... It's not the Roby game that everyone keeps saying is going to happen.
He's got to follow it up, bro.
Right. I think it'll be good. I think it'll... Maybe not efficient, but good. Glenn, if you can get 14
can you
out
get
of Glenn...
Can you get 15 on 10 shots from Glenn?
That might...
No is the answer.
15 on 15, maybe. Mm-hmm.
This is different, too, with Borkart banging down low.
That's true.
That'll be nice. Let me see some depth. Let me see some Amir Harris. Let me see some Nana. Smart shots today for Nana. If you're in this snowmageddon good luck and God bless. Turn over to KFOR tomorrow morning. We'll get you set up on the KFOR morning show with how to get to work and what Husker jersey you put on your snowman. Back tomorrow at 4, Jeff Goodman. Another surprise, a Mike Shewhart sighting. And thoughts on Nebraska-Penn State. Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Get the podcast. It's free. HailVarsity.com or iTunes for Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt. Talk to you next time. Thanks.